Your house is the scene of a crime, a bloody crime, and you're not taking your shoes off before you bury them in the fucking couch, Emma. You nasty bitch. Hello and welcome to your mom's podcast, the only podcast worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And we're your Degrassi rewatch besties.
And today we're discussing Degrassi season 6, episode 13, If You Leave. Roses are red. Is Dylan a cheater? Emma reignites her campaign against cheerleaders. It's been 2 weeks since JT left this plane and took off for the great high school in the sky, and everyone is struggling to heal in their own way. Manny is throwing herself in a spirit squad and her new relationship, and is even moving home in hopes of moving on. Toby, Mia, and Emma are deep in the rage stage of grief, and presumably Liberty is somewhere, feeling complex feelings that we will never know about. Over in the B plot, Dylan is acting shady and distant, and Marco is worried he's cheating again after listening to Spinner's diatribe about My Room Pages. Marco decides to look through Dylan's emails. Very cutesy, very demure. Is Dylan cheating again? Nope, he's just making the equally inconsiderate decision to go play hockey in fucking Zurich without consulting his long-term live-in boyfriend. Fuck Dylan.
Fuck Dylan.
Once again, that's not better. It's not like,
no,
well, it's still like, deceptive.
When Marco's like, how long do we have, and he's like, well, a there's still weeks. Blah blah blah, a couple weeks, so, like, you're so far along in this that you might be leaving in a couple of weeks, and maybe these things work fast. I don't know.
I doubt it.
But even if they work fast, that's all the more reason you wouldn't, like, that would be the first thing I would do is be like, babe, I have this opportunity and I don't know what this means for us, but can we try and figure out what this looks like? Because I don't want to miss this.
And even to mention the fact that Dylan justifies not telling Marco by saying, oh, you think hockey is just my little hobby, but it's everything to me. When has he ever made you feel that way? Unless it's off screen, because you literally went to school to play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he not think it's something you fucking take seriously, Dylan?
I don't think it's that it's something, no, I don't think it's that so much as that, like, Marco doesn't care about hockey.
Marco doesn't give up. I wouldn't give up.
Which is fine. But, like, I don't care about video games. And I'm not going to sit and watch my husband play video games. Mm-hmm. But when he's excited about a new game or something he discovered about an old game, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to listen to him talk about it for a minute. And I'm going to be excited for him. Because even though I don't give a fuck, I care that it makes him happy.
Have we seen Marco, like, not do that?
We haven't seen him not do it, but we also haven't seen him do it.
And I think that's the ambiguity of, like, we don't know. And I think there's some ambiguity in the A-plot, too, that I'm going to get to, of, like, the character and, like, the actual motivate. Like, how this person actually feels is supposed to be kind of a mystery. I feel like we're not supposed to take anything Dylan is saying. Like, it's not supposed to be read as manipulative, but it seems manipulative. It feels kind of like when he was talking about wanting to be open.
I did not take it as manipulative. It didn't read that way to me. I actually, like, by the end of, I liked that little scene. And it's frustrating, right? Because I think that Dylan is, one of Dylan's big flaws is not asking for what he needs and then being mad at you for not giving it to him.
Yes.
But, like, you also have to figure, there's some reason that Dylan struggles to say, this is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know. It's weird, right? Because Dylan at this point is a character, not a plot device. But he is, of all of the characters on Degrassi that aren't fleshed out, like, of the, like, regularly occurring, I think, you know, like, Dylan is a main character's boyfriend.
Yes.
And ultimately, he's such a flat character. He is ultimately a plot device.
He does not. That's why it's like, it would have been helpful, at least in this episode in particular, to get a scene that was, that would help color his claims a little bit better. Because it just seems like Marco is heavily caring about him to the point of, like, it's not healthy. So it's like, I don't know that he is not supporting him.
I think that Marco is heavily caring, but I don't know that he's necessarily caring in the ways that Dylan wants or needs. And I can see Marco very much being not, like, not that he's anti-Dylan playing hockey, but that he's just not supportive. It's not that he doesn't think that Dylan takes hockey seriously. It's that he thinks hockey is a stupid thing to take seriously.
And he also doesn't like anything that's going to take Dylan away from him,
right?
For as much as it could be anything, in my opinion, it doesn't have to be hockey. You could insert any dumb sport, and Marco is not someone who likes sports, so he's going to think anything that takes his boyfriend away from him and makes him have to have commitments that literally make him eat out every night and not be present in their relationship as stupid. I would I would see anything, like,
especially at that age.
Right? At that age, in particular,
sports were stupid when I was 19.
I just started liking football, and I cheered for football for years. I cheered for football for years, and I fucking hated it. And I just started liking it, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go,
start
watching
quick.
The games.
I doubt it'll happen, but you know, you never know. They have been a few times lately. If the Birds make it to the Super Bowl again this year, we should have a watch party at Miss Bev's.
My mom would come down. My mom would fucking love that. You have to make sure she's not going to the Super Bowl though, because she also might try to do that. My mom is very extra. Super Bowl tickets are really, like, they're really hard to get, and you have to buy. A lot of people just buy it without knowing who's going to be at the Super Bowl, because at least you're going to the Super Bowl. But if you don't know that your team is going to be at the Super Bowl until, like, 2 weeks before they're at the Super Bowl, 3 weeks, something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like, but that's it's more about the Super Bowl, and if it ends up being your team, it's badass. And if you're you know, Bradley Cooper, then you get to go see the Eagles, and you can wait until that's announced, you know, or you're probably still at the game anyway, but they don't show you because Philly's not playing.
Yeah, I feel like my mom loves football enough that she would probably still go, but I don't see her buying a ticket just to gamble. But the Eagles they won their first game. So was that their first game? I think it's their
game. Football season had started.
Yeah, it's started. I know they were in scrimmages and preseason for a while, but then they played this past Sunday. I don't know if it was game one or not, but I know they won. Yeah, it's like, I get it. I get that Dylan's like, this is a stupid thing to be so locked in on because it's taking away from our relationship. At the same time, he also probably resents it because it's putting him around a bunch of other guys that, like, and he doesn't know what happens. He's very, like, as soon as Dylan, and I mean, rightfully so, as soon as Dylan is displaying shady behavior, he is like, red flags, red flags. I'm on high alert. And I am sniffing out bullshit. So he was, like, hoping to find something to confirm, like, his shitty behavior.
I think the moral of this B-plot is that Marco and Dylan are not a healthy couple. And, you know, maybe they could be in the future.
They could be in the future. Because their problems are not that bad. But their problems are bad enough at this age to be toxic.
And I think that like the care for one another is really genuine. It's just that neither one of them knows how to love well, because love and isn't just some feeling. It is a thing.
It's an active choice. It's a, yes, it's something that you participate in and you choose every day. And it's it's something to be said for just the way that they cannot communicate about difficult things. Mm-hmm. Like that is the cornerstone of any relationship. Not even if it's not romantic, to be able to talk about hard things, because those are the most important things to discuss. And he's like leaving out the plot of his life right now. He is not telling him, hey, I'm in a recruitment process with these people.
Right. Right.
You could have literally, it could have just been as simple as, hey, baby, I got scouted today. Like someone came to my game and they might be interested in me.
If I knew that I, in 3 weeks' time, was going to be going out of the country for presumably, right. I mean, how long is a hockey season? At least a couple of months.
Yeah. And that's to say if he can just come back after the season, or if they don't have right. preseason or things, commitments and things that they want him to do.
Like, I would want to make every second count.
Mm-hmm. But Dylan's and not thinking about that.
And I say that as somebody
that.
Who, like, my husband and I are not right on top of each other. Like,
mm-hmm.
most nights, like, we'll watch some Bob's Burgers or maybe Survivor or The Challenge. Or he's watching his shit or playing video games and I'm doing my shit in the other room. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're so
I love parallel play. I love parallel play so much. And, I mean, same. And I think you can do that. That works when, like, I will agree with what Dylan said. It was a little bit of an asshole thing to say, but about like, we see each other all the time. That is true. When you live with someone, you kind of have to balance your social time with your living together time, because you know you're seeing each other all the time. You literally.
Right. You have to see each other. You have to make the effort to see each other with intention sometimes.
Yes. Right. And it's not just, oh, you know, we're laying in bed and we're making, you know, maybe I'm making food and I'm, you know, like, it's actually, oh, do you want to watch this thing together? Do you want to maybe do this puzzle? Do you want to maybe mm-hmm. take a walk? And then that's like a little, okay, this is something we're doing together. And then, like, me and S took a walk yesterday, and then we got back and we left each other alone for like 3 hours.
Right? Right? Like, and like, but like, and you have to go on dates sometimes. You have to,
you
like,
do. You have to,
because
have a date
it's
night.
So easy, so quickly when you live with somebody to just fall into the routine. And like, mm-hmm.
and then the, it's the domesticity is sweet, right? It's like the domesticity is sweet, and it's like having a home together is sweet, but it's like, I think that takes a little bit away from like the cutesy things you can do together outside of your home, because it's like, oh, we share a home together. We're already doing so many sweet things, like laying together on the couch and rotting and like not.
Fellas, you know, ladies, take your special someone to do some cute fall shit.
Oh, go pick apples. I think
go pick apples. Unless go look at pumpkins. Go
my lady
corn
has
maze.
Seasonal allergies, so we're not going to do a hayride, but I think we're going to do a corn maze this year.
I love Forrest likes to do haunted shit with me, because when I go to a haunted house, I put myself in a mindset like I am terrified in the worst haunted houses, because I just get myself worked up because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a boardwalk haunted house once at Virginia Beach.
Mm.
And was so freaked out. And mm-hmm. like, I lean into it. I'm loud. I yell. I'm like, mm-hmm. whatever. I made one of the actors break character. Like, he could not help but laugh at me. Take your partner to a haunted house. Unless they don't like that. And then don't. Or you don't like that. Then
spooky time is so fun. Yeah, no, I get not liking it, but I definitely, I love a good haunted house. S tries to, like, she tries to do unpaid scare work and scare me if it's not scary enough for her liking, which is such a menace thing to do. But yeah, it can be very easy to just settle into the monotony of living together. I do think that, like, Jimmy's advice was sound, of like having a cute little romantic date night. The fact that he made his Nona's bisteca and he took a fucking phone call
After I loved, like, cell phones were still new, yes! new enough then.
That wasn't like an automatic. Oh, I guess it gained repower. I guess it repowered. It gained more power. Isn't that funny?
He's like, because it wasn't bitch, that sounds to which, suspicious. Like, if you turn your phone off because it was low battery,
you could save power. You could
and turn it back on, and then turn it back on. I guess is still a thing. Although I feel like it takes people power to turn on.
I was gonna say, I don't think people do that anymore. Do people, when you see your battery is low, do you turn off your phone? Or do you just let it rock out on low battery
mode? Do you remember turning off your phone?
Yes, I remember I remember being like, okay, I've got like not a lot of battery and I want to save it. I don't need it right now. I'm like at my friend's house or something, but I know I'm going to need to call my mom or something. So I'm going to turn it off for a couple of hours and I turn it back on when I'm ready to leave. And I've got enough.
Even when it wasn't off, like it used to be, if anybody here is, you know, youngin, back in the before times, the long, long ago, sometimes like you would go several waking, not working hours without touching your phone.
Yes.
Several. It was
wild. Religiously used to like not bring my phone to school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is mind-blowing, right? Like, I did not bring my phone to school. If I ever did, it was usually just in my backpack the whole time.
Well, because everybody, it also is worth noting that, like, you couldn't really, like, you were limited in using your phone before 9 minutes. O'clock.
Yeah, I had very few texts that I could send as well. Like, my texts had to be very economical. Do you remember sign-off? Like having a sign off on your text message. Yeah, that cost, like, I knew you had unlimited text. That's when unlimited texting came around, because every character, like, you would be charged for. So listen.
Oh, man.
Be thankful you don't have to turn off your phone anymore. And be thankful that
Dylan Michaelchuk is not your boyfriend.
Is not your boyfriend circa 2006 when phones were just
I don't know what
picking up.
Okay, if you had to date Marco or Dylan.
Oh.
And not like go on a date with, but you have to be like, in like a committed relationship for at least a year and a half.
Marco's so fucking whiny.
I know. So who are you?
But Dylan's the fucking worst, and I've got less info on him. He's like a What did he describe him as? Tall, broad-shouldered, and emotionally absent.
Yeah, but
he's like a Ken doll. I don't want a Ken doll. But at least if I keep Marco around, he can make me his nona's bisteca. And like, I don't think it's nona. I think it's something else more Italian. But yeah,
I don't know. I feel like Dylan would be way less effort. Like, especially if you can, like, you go into it knowing
that he's a himbo.
I guess, like, if it was, like, who do I have to, like, fall for the way that I would fall, I guess I would go Marco.
Yeah, like, if this is a loveless marriage, I'm totally going Dylan.
Mm-hmm. But if I'm in my feels, I would go Marco, and I would hate it just as much.
He would be a tender lover, but
please don't use the word lover when we're talking about Marco Del Rossi ever again. Like, can we not?
And I'm going to assert that I don't want to use it in conjunction with tender either. I think tender took it too far. I think tipped it in a way that was untenable. So here's the thing. I don't fucking like these two. And the show is just going to keep, I'm like, ew. I don't care.
Well, and it's a shame that we finally get to see some vulnerability from Dylan, only for him to, like, continue to suck and then disappear.
Right? I'm like, he just like, I'm just gonna fuck off now. Because I
off
just
to Zurich,
sucked
I go.
Royally. Yeah, it's not.
wait, though, because Dylan walked to Zurich so that Darcy could run to Kenya.
Oh, no. You're right. He's the first of the main characters significant others to fuck right off to another country.
Right. Kendra fucked off to another dimension, as
Kendra
did Towers.
Just fucked right off to the fucking Twilight Zone.
And JT fucked off to heaven.
JT fucked off to that big high school in the sky. I mean, I guess speaking of that, do we have anything else on this B plot?
Let me look at my notes, but I don't think so.
Oh, I want to highlight that Spinner having Myron Page PTSD is probably the funniest shit about that shit is an online abyss.
Hilarious. I loved that. I loved that so much. It was my favorite part of the episode, far and away.
He's so locked. He's like, wait a minute, does he have a Myron Page though?
And for a second, I had forgotten, and I was like, why? Like, the first time I watched his first mention of it, like, didn't really track anything to me, and then I was like, oh, right, duh, Spinner fucking hates Myron Page.
That Myron Page broke up his relationship. It wasn't that great to begin with, Spinner. It's fine. You were given a dodged a bullet there, if you ask me.
It dodged several bullets, if you ask me.
But yeah, an online abyss it is. That's hilarious. It's not speaking much for this plot that's probably the most enjoyable part of it for me, but yeah. I was fucking rolling and him being like, I knew it! That place is an online abyss, man!
And Marco's like, chill, dude. Chill out, man. My boyfriend's not a freshman girl.
Darcy. Stealing fucking Claire's fucking uniform. I don't care.
I was really pleased with the lack of Ellie and Jesse.
The fact that they kept being like, yeah, we know Ellie lives here, but we're just going to keep coming up with reasons why she's not here right now.
She's just not.
She's at the movies with Kiko and Suki. She is fucking out.
Pour one out for Kiko and Suki having just to go out and hang out with Ellie.
Like, Marco's like, Kiko, Suki, hey. They're like, hey, Marco, the only time you ever fucking talk to us is when you're trying to pawn Ellie off on us, so what the fuck do you want? Oh, right. You want to pawn Ellie off on us? Fuck you.
No, we're going to stay home and play Dance Dance Revolution.
We only ever see Kiko and Suki in the background also. So they're just back there to be Asian color. Like, they have no relevant...
Yeah, justice for Kiko and Suki.
Like, Harajuku girls, like, Gwen Stefani color. Because that's what they're dressed as. They're dressed just like that in that genre.
God, the early 2000s were such a horrible, ugly time.
Yeah, it's like, we're just gonna have these very Asian-named ladies be mentioned in sentences. We're never gonna show their faces except off focus in the background.
Right. I feel like if we legitimately like seen them in the background like giggling together.
I think we
like, is that an actual thing that's happened, or is it just that they are so stereotypical like background that like I've imagined
that's what you're attributing them to? Yeah, I mean, but honestly, it would, the sad part is if that did not occur, it's plausible, it's probable.
If it hasn't happened yet, that doesn't mean it's not gonna happen.
That's very true.
No, because Paige is about to move in, and then Kiko and Suki are just gonna fuck then right off.
They just fuck right off because Paige right needs off. Paige needs a room, and apparently Kiko and Suki share that room. Kiko and Suki are lesbian representation that we never got. That's my headcanon, because they were roommates. They were roommates.
Now I want Kiko and Suki to recreate the tattoo "All the Things She Said" video.
No.
That I totally watched so many times my freshman year for 100% straight reasons.
For 100% heterosexual reasons.
Yeah, nobody, like...
There's nothing gay about it.
Nothing gay.
No homo, though.
You know what I love? It was used in Gossip Girl, is the tattoo cover of How Soon Is Now.
Uh-huh.
which I'm just, if you haven't listened to it, go listen to the tattoo cover of How Soon Is Now, because it is gold.
This is your daily aughts deep cut recommendation. Any of you guys that are really into what is the term, Y2K, as a aesthetic, you should really try to deep dive and do it properly. Like, people who were into the 80s and then, like, they deep, like, I was deep cutting. I was in the trenches of the 80s wearing shit that's not fashionable. I wore leg warmers, brightly colored leg warmers.
Okay. To any for, of the youths for the 80s who are culture. Embracing Y2K, don't listen to Avis. Like, you don't.
I just want you to know that not everything was cute. Most of it wasn't cute.
Most of it really wasn't cute.
Like, and you guys are fucking cowardly picking the cute shit and, like, and glorifying
it
the time.
Wasn't
like
all
it,
just hip huggers and butterfly clips, okay?
It wasn't.
Oh my god, but remember butterfly
and cargo
clips?
Pants? Okay, well, yes.
Remember the zip-off pants?
There, I've seen those back in the stores.
I don't have a problem with that.
The pants that you could rip off.
What is it? Bass Country, Big Mouth, Sporting Goods.
Wow.
Bass Pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like Bass,
Big Mouth, Billy Bass.
And I was like, we've been smoking a lot of weed. We both live.
I do not smoke. I don't do weed.
No,
I'm kidding. No, you can
you
leave
smoke
it.
Never weed. Never weed. I like to say gardening, like the kids say, but obviously
speaking
this
of
has
the
been
youths,
a very gardening
heavy. I got to go
talk
heavy. To a middle school class today, and it was so good.
A class? Oh, right. Did you tell me? I feel like you told me. The true thing. Maybe not. Go ahead.
I think I told you that I was doing that. Yeah, I know. I've been doing a couple of school things. I went to an open house last week and had a table, but I got to go and talk to a class and it was good. The local impact class, because some of our local schools offer some really cool electives.
Man, all I had was like philosophy and art.
It was for their local impact, like the local heroes section of their local impact class, because I'm
That's
a local
so cute.
Hero.
You're a local hero, Caroline.
And y'all can't see me, but I wore the veggie dress.
TM. Yeah. All this to say, this has been a quite heavily gardened B plot. We're gonna. Do we have anything else to say about
No, this? Fuck this B plot. Let's go
this
talk about
B-plot
the A plot.
Is... But yeah, let's do this.
On to the A plot. Can I just say that I actually hated this one a lot less than I thought I was going to, and a lot less maybe than I've been hating season 6.
This one was written better. I liked a lot of the things that Manny said, particularly when she was moving out. Just about like that it's time for her to go home and that she loves Emma forever for letting her stay, but this is not the, you know, this is not her family, this is not where she belongs, and
right,
this was temporary. And of course Emma's feeling her feelings and being like, well, what about your dad and his tirades and his and the curfew and the dress code, and she's like, bitch, that's my dad, like, ultimately,
wait,
that's my
always
fucking
been
dad.
My dad ultimately,
like,
that's my dad,
like, I
he's
do.
A short, problematic king, okay?
He's a short, problematic Filipino king. And it feels like Emma is just not ready to let go of her emotional support bestie, which is very understandable. Like, Manny's been there for a year, almost, at this point. She's been there since the beginning of season 5, basically.
Right.
So yeah, a year.
Like a year and a half.
Like, if that's a long time for your best friend to stay with you. And I know I never had this dynamic, not until I went to college, where my best friends came to actually live with me because they had you know, living situations and things. And that was just at my mom's house. So it's like, it was very similar to like Emma and Manny's situation. And it feels like a party every day. What's that dumbass show? Jesse, I think it's on Disney, which I know about completely against my will because I did not watch that show. But it's definitely a different kind of vibe to live with your best friend when it's not a college thing and it's like you're in high school.
In like your home.
In your home, having them live with you in your childhood home. They do feel like a part of your family. They do feel, and I think maybe for Emma too, it's like a little bit too much to hear that like, this is not my family. Like, I love Snake and Spike, but they're not my family. She's like, what do you mean? We took you on vacation.
Well, I don't think they ever ended up going on that vacation.
I don't think they ever fucking ended up going
out.
No, probably not. All the vacations they were promised.
Well, and I mean, I think that, like, for the most part, like, at that age, found family isn't really a concept that you fully understand yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that, or that, like, you haven't quite figured out that family is so much bigger than your blood,
right?
You know, because Snake and Spike are her family, but they're not her mom and dad,
right?
And it's not her home. Like, at the end of the day, she's a guest in somebody's home,
right? Right.
And I don't know. I totally get Manny moving home. I do think that she could have broken the news better. Like, and it's not like she planned for Emma to like stumble upon her and her mom, but she could have talked to Emma before she like sat down in person with her mom.
Yeah, it would have been nice for Emma to have like a heads up of like, hey, I, you know, I've just been talking to my parents and they want me back home. It's like, it's not going to happen tomorrow, overnight, because it seems like they had talked a couple of days. And maybe even Manny needed to get warmed up to the idea of going back home. Like, maybe there were a couple of meetings or whatever between her and her mom. But yeah, just letting her know that even her brain was going in that direction. I mean, Emma's completely being triggered right now.
Well, and Emma has been, like fuck Emma and what have you. But also, goddammit, I was listening to old episodes and, like, back in season 3, we're still, like, I, in particular, I'm like, this is and always will be an Ashley Kerwin slander pick.
Yeah. We and, like, ate our words on that.
We did. This is an Ashley Kerwin stan account.
Yeah.
I have not come to love Emma the way that I have come to love Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
But like, in the last 2 years, she has watched somebody die after being at the end of the barrel that ended up killing that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten a social disease in her throat.
Yeah.
Fucking battled an eating disorder that almost killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking dated Peter Stone.
Oh, God. She did do that, didn't she?
Fucking...
like, boldly, too, with a straight face, dated that young man.
And, like, you know, getting back together with Sean while he's still in jail is not a thing that happened to her. It's a choice that she made. And that's still difficult. And then, yeah, her house is a literal crime scene where one of her close, like, one of her oldest friends died.
Yep.
And that's so many things in 2 years when you're only, you know, was that song 15? There's still time for you.
Yeah. One would argue maybe too many things. And it's like, maybe this is probably the early case for like what they do to Claire.
And Maya.
It's like, hey, there's other people you can give some of this trauma to. I don't blame her for feeling the way that Emma, for feeling the way that she feels at Manny leaving. I don't blame her at all. I think it's very, honestly, it's a little relatable given the situation that she's in. And I think what Manny tries to do is she just tries to see the good in a situation. She tries to see the upside. She has been like negative before, and it does not last long for her. That's just not her disposition to be like, oh, okay, I'm going to dwell on the fact that JT got stabbed in a puddle of piss and urine and blood.
Piss and urine?
Piss and urine, because they're two different things. And I don't feel like she wants to dwell on those things. She would like to just focus on the things that she can control, which is very mature. I think she comes across very mature in this episode, even mm-hmm. in the points where she is short-sighted about Damien, because so do we think. At the time I watched, like when I watched this when I was younger, Mia was just like, she was just giving brat. Like, it was just like, oh, I'm mad, I'm upset about my boyfriend being, you know, my boyfriend dying, and I hate everybody from this former school. But now I have to, being obviously, I have to think a little critically, I have to think, look at everybody's faces, whatever. After Mia says what she says and she leaves the dot, Damien's face is like, ooh.
Right.
Like, and my like, shit has been blown up. Not like,
I don't see why Mia would lie about it. Like, I don't think it's an outright lie. I don't see
why Mia would lie about it. But I could
see Mia, like, painting, you know, they did a group project together once, or they were both on the soccer team. Or,
like, they're friendly, with each other, but not friends.
But granted, unless Manny is the one exaggerating, according to Damien, mm-hmm. he's never even spoken to
Drake. He's never spoken to Drake. Yeah, that's what he said. Like, yeah, I've never spoke. Yeah.
Well, and I didn't like him pushing her to blow off Emma.
I hated that. And it was creepy. My literal
especially so soon.
My fucking note is Damien is so fucking lame. He is mm-hmm. lame. He is a fucking lame-o. And he has no fucking swag, no fucking drip, no... there's very little thing, like, there's nothing interesting about him. I don't know why Manny is so interested in him, other than the fact that he treats her like a person and not a walking pair of boobs. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, the bar is in hell, Manny. He is not a good dude.
That's gonna wear off. They don't last that long.
They don't last. Well, she sees through a lot of his whatever, but yeah, it's a lot of his facial expressions in this episode give away what I think to be his real character. Mm-hmm. Of like, whereas I used to think it was a lot more like a little ambiguous. Mia's just
pissy and probably over exaggerating. Correct. Like,
but I don't think so. I think that Mia is basically saying, like, you have been friendly with him. You have had conversations. They probably have hung out. Maybe if they're not like in the same social circles, like, and they're friendly.
Well, it's weird though, because like, if you were to just look at like side by side Damien and Drake,
they don't look like anybody who would ever
Like they would run in the same circles.
They don't.
But also, high school's a long time, and a lot of people go to high school with people they went to middle school with, and a lot of people go to middle school with people they went to elementary school with. So mm-hmm. like, I think it's entirely believable that like, shit, they could have been Spinner and Jimmy in grade 7. And
yeah, then it's possible by now they've just
drifted.
I can totally see, because like Damien has the more preppy aesthetic versus like Mia's like sporty, casual aesthetic. And then versus some of the other people that we've seen from Lakehurst, aside from Drake, whatever that antagonist, Nick, whatever, how he was dressed more like hoodlum-esque with the mm-hmm. like baggy pants and like the hoodies and stuff. All of that is supposed to represent like Lakehurst is supposed to be like the grungier school, and they're not supposed to be as well off as Degrassi people, which is evidenced by like how they bring them in the next, what, you know, spoiler alert, the schools merge, how they bring those people in. It's like they're trash.
Frankly, it's evidenced by their Spirit Squad's janky ass costumes.
But can we talk? We will talk about Degrassi's janky ass costumes.
We will, but they are not the same kind of janky ass costumes.
It's a janky
or uniforms, rather.
It's a janky ass fair, in my opinion. As a former cheerleader, it's all ratchet. Yeah, no,
it's at.
We will talk about that.
As a person who has watched Bring It On.
Right. No, it's just.
And the sequels, I was not impressed.
No. It's like Damien is very, very much giving several red flags of like trying to get her, like, let's go, Manny. Like, he is very much like trying to do an us versus them, even though he's pretending to be nice. And like, he mm-hmm. wants, like, he didn't do anything wrong. But even saying, like, even when Sean is like, oh, how's things over at Lakehurst? And he's like, yeah, they're fine. He knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Right. And I feel
Damien
like,
knows what like, Sean is talking about. Why would he answer like that and not expect Sean to be like, oh, really? Because some bullshit just happened over your school.
It's not great at Degrassi.
It's not great over here.
We're all in mourning, bruh.
Fucking honky-dory. It's your fucking shit. And it's like, he know he Damien, he comes off as nonchalant and unassuming and aloof, but I think he's quite calculated in how he comes across. He's like, oh, I don't know. I'm just right. I'm just trying to make peace. I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Well, and like, I feel like obviously, like Snake says, like Lakehurst didn't kill JT. Mm-hmm. One person did. Mm-hmm. You can argue that Johnny has some blame in it, but I really don't. I don't think that that argument.
Johnny a bystander.
Was there.
He was there. He didn't do shit. But what are you gonna do?
Right. It's
what the
not
fuck
like,
are you
yeah.
gonna do? He was probably gonna get fucked up too if he did. Well, he probably would have got knifed too.
Right. And like he was by the time he figured out what was going on, JT was already stabbed and
right.
bleeding out in a puddle of piss.
Correct.
New band name. I called it
a puddle of piss.
What? No, bleeding out in a puddle of piss.
Bleeding out in a puddle of piss. All right.
I'm going for like the Panic at the
All
Disco.
All right. I was
going
to say, you know, the length of a fucking Panic at the Disco song. Yeah.
But like have some humility.
Mm-hmm.
Like
none.
Even
there's
if,
none.
Like even if like yeah. Hearst had nothing to do with the stabbing at all, like even if Drake went somewhere else, I can't imagine like interacting with kids that I know are really fucking going through it and being as he's smarmy. That's what it is. That is the word. Damien
smarmy.
Is fucking smarmy.
Just striding about in his fucking sweater vest and his fucking newsboy cap. I wanted to knock that fucking hat off his head.
To be clear, he's not any worse than most of the men at Degrassi or boys at Degrassi.
Yeah, but at least it's not on the heels of a murder.
Right.
Like,
it's the timing,
it's
the outsider
timing
status.
Is
like,
just unsavory at best. It's unsavory
and it's not,
at best.
And this is our introduction to him. It's not like
oh, and
you
we
know,
get more.
Craig, who first we see as the poor kid that's being abused, you know, and we know who.
That's why people have a soft spot for Craig is because they know that his dad once took a golf club and said, hey, this is good for use against
for
my
Jimmy
son.
Because his parents do not love him.
Hey,
do y'all remember
my normal medium pepperoni?
The usual.
Medium pepperoni? Yeah.
Even Tony doesn't love him enough to know what his usual is.
Yeah, he's like, Tony, do you know my usual? You don't, Tony. Fuck you, Tony. Fuck you, Tony. Yeah.
It's like, Tony, I call him 5 nights a week minimum.
Sometimes I order lunch on the weekends, Tony. When you first open, Tony.
If you cut Jimmy open in eighth grade, he would bleed pizza sauce. And pepperoni.
Pasta sauce.
No, but he wasn't eating pasta.
But pasta and pizza sauce are basically the same.
No, they are not.
They are.
No.
Riot Italians.
No.
Riot. In a convenience culture that I live in, I am going to make a marinara, and that marinara is going to work for me. Okay.
Guys, I regret to inform you that this is actually the last episode of your mom's podcast and it is ending right now.
Caroline, what is the difference? What would you like to be in pasta sauce that's not in pizza sauce? The base, the red.
It's the viscosity. It's the flavors are a little different. It's just different. It's not for super me, different.
I don't like a runny pasta sauce. I make my tomato. I make them from crushed tomatoes and whole tomatoes. So I will break
and half a bottle of honey.
Oh well, I use honey because I mean I need to cut the acidity. I don't use sugar now. I use honey.
That's fair.
And that was a quick sauce. That's not the sauce that I would make a big batch of. But yes, very simple.
I say this
salt,
as somebody
pepper,
who doesn't like
garlic, onion,
spaghetti at all. Like
I was
going like to
say,
pasta.
Why are you going to die on this hill when you don't even fucking eat it, dude? But the way that like you make a big batch, I would say maybe the only marked difference is if you want a little bit more like oregano or some shit in your pizza sauce. If you want it more like... I don't know what you want, but that's
more
not
what?
My, like, you know, let's just Chef Boyardee. I don't know what you want. Like
know,
a very
bistec.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that's what you need from me. Am I going to Sorrento, Italy, or wherever the fuck, and like picking the tomatoes off the vine and going to somebody's Nona's backyard and like having it mixed? No, I'm not doing that. But I'm going to make a big pot and I'm going to put it in a jar. And when I need to make my own pizza night, I'm pouring it over there and I'm putting the cheese and my toppings on there, Caroline. And when I mean, want my goddamn red sauce, I'm going to mix it with some cream or something because
well,
I don't like just
know
the red sauce.
Funny
and I'm
is
gonna
you know
eat
how.
It.
You know how I don't really like pasta?
Mm.
I'm not super big on pizza either.
That is something that I am willing to end the show over. Because what do you mean? You and Gregory from fucking Abbott Elementary are
weird.
No.
Okay, no, it's not like that. Like, I will eat pizza. If someone's like, let's go out for pizza, I'm like, yeah. If someone's like, let's order a pizza. But like, I'm
we
never going to be the one
really
to suggest
pizza. We, as a, like our group, like when we've eaten together
mm-hmm.
and like, we've never done pizza. We do like,
we
Asian
did,
a
but
lot.
We did pizza at the, in Tennessee.
We did,
but that
was a,
but
that
was
an after party.
It was at a pizza place. Yeah.
That was just to get away from the fucking base location of where we were,
right?
That was flooded. That was literally my only motivation to go because I was like, we get to leave and go eat pizza, but we had to pay for
it.
It
was really
good
pizza.
It was really
good
pizza, and that pizza sustained me and
mm-hmm.
LB for you know a couple meals after that. So,
but yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew you weren't a pizza person. I didn't know that.
And it's not like there are probably times where I'm going to be like, can we do something else instead? But like, I'm not going to like, I'm not anti pizza. It's just, I'm never going to be like, ooh, let's get pizza.
I'm a takeout pizza girly. We used to do some form of takeout every Friday and at least two times in a month, it would be pizza. And I love a takeout pizza. Like Papa John's has been bought by a black man. So I do.
That, I love to hear that because I actually, of the trashy pizzas, Papa John's is probably my favorite. Papa John's or this is a hot take.
Mm.
Little Caesars.
I was going to say Little Caesars and I saw it on the tip of your tongue and I was like, that's the only acceptable addition to that. Because there's something about it that's very solid overall. And I'm mad that they've abandoned the $5 pizza.
Right.
That was a
but
loss
I mean,
on
in
our
this
culture.
Economy.
In this economy, okay. Even the fucking frozen pizza is not $5. Okay. But yes, it's solid pizza. I've always loved Papa John's for the cup, the garlic sauce cup. You shake that up and
same.
It gets all you shake that up and it gets all like butter.
Are
like,
we the same person?
Ooh. I'm hungry now. Maybe
I know I got Thai food in my fridge.
Oh,
one thing about me is I always want Thai food. I never don't want Thai food.
You never don't want Thai food. I wish I shared your enthusiasm for Thai food. You just have to get me on a really good place.
Yeah, let me figure that. Let me.
The one that does not make me shit Tom Yum soup. Viscerally
yeah.
out of my anal cavity. I'm so sorry if you don't come here for very graphic depictions of my bodily you know, functions. Sorry.
But yeah,
anyway.
No, we'll get, no, you gotta get like, it's all about
wide rice noodles in a greasy little sauce.
Okay. I can fuck with that.
I bet you probably have had some to it. Literally.
Probably. I've heard you mention this dish. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm willing to try.
I'm as willing. Long as it's not seafood?
Oh, yeah. Fuck seafood. Yeah, this, so to wrap up the Damien discourse, he might as well be named Damien the Omen because he is the fucking Antichrist. He's, and he really sucks. And I just don't know why. As a rule of thumb, you stay out of bestie drama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't give a fuck if you're a man or a woman. Or, you know, someone who identifies by, you know, non-binary terms. I feel like it's important for you to know, for your well-being, to stay out of your significant other's bestie drama. Just well, stay the fuck out of it. Well, and here's the thing,
is like, they're not even, it's not even like drama at that point, but it's like, presumably, right, like he is interested in talking to her. Presumably, he's learned a lot about Miss Manuela Santos over the last 2 weeks. Right? And like, you know that one of her lifelong friends was just murdered mm-hmm. outside of the home she's been living in. Mm-hmm. You know, presumably, you know some degree of the shit Emma's been through in the last several years. You know the yeah. things Emma and Manny have been through. You know that this is a big thing that Manny's going home. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's probably unreasonable to expect a teenage boy to think about that of like, yeah. this is a big transition for both of them and they need their time together. But I don't like it. I don't care for it one bit.
No, it feels messy in the way that's like, you are trying to push these two people apart publicly. Also, some of the shit he said is quite inflammatory. And then he mm-hmm. says it in public, like, Emma's not supposed to fucking rock his shit. Because, like, I don't care what you think of our friendship. That's my friend. Whatever she mm-hmm. tells you is in confidence. And the fact that you have just the comfort to repeat it in a social setting like this is really fucking wild.
Well, and honestly, like, that for me is a point against Manny. Because I feel like defending me or not
mm-hmm.
to take my words and use them to hurt my best friend is fucked up. And you yes. are not the kind of person I want to know. And like, the fact of the matter is, like, even if that fight was gonna be the final fight with or without you,
mm-hmm. the fact that you had to throw your yeah, no, I'm not okay with it either. I feel like it's very much, it's telling of his true intentions. Like, he mm-hmm. does not want her to have such a close friend like Emma. So that he can monopolize all of her time. And she can just be all about what he needs her to be about versus any other points of view.
Yeah, no, and I feel like, I mean, we don't really see Damien do anything but suck that I can mm-hmm. think of.
Suck in a way that is like, what is the expression we use? Like three walking red flags in a trench coat or something?
Yeah.
It's bad. And I, like, worry, like, as someone who is older watching it, it could, to me, be indicative of like some level of abuser intent just by like the isolating her and trying to get her not to be close with people. Like, arguably, who is she closer to than Emma, even though they have their issues?
No,
she lived with that girl, like, and the right. timing of her not living with her anymore. And then him being like, oh no, I wanted to hang out with you. I really want to talk to you, you know? Like,
and I am not, like, I'm not comfortable saying that Damien is an abuser.
No, I'm not comfortable saying that he is, but just like the
indicators. That being said, I bet if they actually chose to
go that route.
Develop him as a character. It wouldn't be surprising to me if they had chosen.
Oh, well, yeah. I think it would be very surprising if he turns out to be anything else because of what the dominoes that they're setting up. He just seems very controlling. And, like, he doesn't want Manny to be around someone who sees things differently from the way he sees them. Emma has a very, like, you know, opposite view of things. For him, it's not about Lakehurst. It's about one person. And it's like,
which even, I think is like reasonable.
I think Snake is right. But what I disagreed with is having the school come so soon.
Yeah. I don't think that was one of those choices that was such a bad move.
I think administratively, that's a very poor ass fucking choice.
This school district, I have problems.
The Degrassi school district fucking sucks. They're like, all corrupt. They're taking bribes.
They're not
paying attention.
This is such a bad call.
It is. And I think that's really what sets up. Like, you have to think about how after the event, all of them streamed into the lobby and they were all like, and there's high attendance from both schools because of the nature of the event.
Just them there, right?
No, it's not just them there. No, wait,
it's at least like four schools total.
Those are the
Degrassi goes and they're like, they give them their score and they're like putting Degrassi clear in the lead. And then they're like, and
we just don't see other schools.
Which makes sense.
Or at least, yeah, because, I mean, they do just say Lakehurst is coming, and they say this, what is it, the semifinals or something? Or is it the finals? Or is it the semifinals?
The finals.
So, yeah, the finals wouldn't be just two teams. It would be a series of teams.
I have to assume at least four.
Yeah, I mean, that would be
a reasonable number. Says Spirit Squad finals on the school, even though
that's a Degrassi thing, and it's
right,
not,
and it's like acknowledged that it's a Degrassi thing.
Paige came up with it, and it's not something like they don't have Spirit Squad finals. Like it's cheerleading finals.
No.
Like, yeah, they're very clearly trying to. Yeah. I don't.
My room page.
It's very. Like, they didn't think it through of all of these students being in one contained place. And the fact that even if it is just one student who committed a murder against another student in this school, there are people who know that student, both of the students, present. Why would you think that that's a good idea to gather those people? If for no other reason, then it's not a good time to gather those two sets of people. Not even thinking about the factor of violence.
Well, and they're like, it's, you know, it was scheduled months ago and it's too late to change it. And like, respectfully, I don't believe that because all you need is a gymnasium. And every single school involved
most likely has a gymnasium. Correct.
And like, they're all booked this weekend.
Maybe
they are. I don't know how gymnasiums work.
I fucking doubt it. It just feels like, oh yeah, this is a convenient plot device. Lakehurst has to come here. We have to put these people in the same room because there's no other reason they would be in the same room. Why would they be in the same room? That's dumb. They're rival schools. One student just from one school just murdered another. Why would they have a community event that...
Well, like, and there was like almost a riot at the last Lakehurst-Degrassi game before the murder. And I have to assume that like... It's not like the gym teacher of this school and that school are like working in tandem every day, but I would assume that like within the sports department, yes, everybody's got their own schools, but then there's also just an overall like sports department of the district.
Well, yeah, there
it's
has
weird
to
me
oversee.
That it wouldn't be known. Like it's stupid.
Perhaps because Degrassi is supposed to be a community school, there's not as much oversight, but I sincerely doubt that the oversight that would exist would allow, like you said, which I wasn't even considering, I don't know why, but that there's already violence at a sporting event with these two schools. Why do you think it's going to change now? After an an incredible loss to the community, because this is literally the mascot of the Spirit Squad.
Right. It's not even just a student. It is the mascot.
The mascot of the Spirit Squad is supposed to be there, and he's dead. The rival school killed him. Taking the rival school up a notch. Not only do we hate you, we also killed your fucking mascot.
And, like, can we talk about also how shitty it is of Manny and more so Darcy?
Okay, for me, it's like, why is Manny leading this bullshit? I would not stand there.
I would have said no, Darcy. No.
Darcy, you do that dumbass shit by yourself.
Because you are the reason she's not on our squad. You're the reason she's not
on the squad. I was fucking lobbying. I put my ass on the line to get her on the fucking squad. Because she deserved that shit. And you said no because she's a teen mom. So you can go on that fucking dummy mission so she could tell you to go fuck yourself by yourself. I'm not coming with you. And then she has to, and then Manny has to let, like, literally lean over and let Mia kick her in the face because she has to say, oh, I'm sorry we even asked, sorry for asking. Manny, honey, critical thought would tell you, no, you don't.
Darcy,
that is insulting. That is extremely insulting to stand next to Darcy while she's like, poor Run Mia Jones, shake and stir.
You've been MIA from the squad for too long. Suck a dick, Darcy.
I would have punched her in the fucking face.
My room page dick.
She is lucky that Mia does not throw hands, because she would have got punched in her fucking face. Because how dare you?
Mm-hmm. And Hot Sauce probably would have let it fly.
Hot Sauce probably would have let it. She would have been like, listen, you didn't have to lick her like that. You ain't have to sock her in her face like that, but I'm going to let it go. Okay? Just don't do it again.
If it happens again, we're going to have a problem. But right now,
put some ice on your hand. Well. Yeah, take your ass home for the day. Bye. Like, get out of my face. Like, you get one.
Here's $5. Buy you and Isabella some popcorn or something.
Secretly, Hatzilakos is like the best. As soon as she closes the door, she's like, oh, I cannot. Now I can finally stop being a cunt. Okay. What do you.
Hatzilakos is like, fuck them kids in particular.
In particular. And yes, fuck them kids in particular. Those kids over there.
Right.
Yeah. It's not. I don't blame. I wouldn't blame her.
It's so rude. It's so rude. Very rude. And also, speaking of rude, that Shantae Darcy Emma exchange was not excitement. That was also, like, really fucking rude and weird.
It was weird. I don't know why they chose to do that, other than Emma needing to feel like an outsider for this episode.
Yeah, but it was then like, the direction we're just not should have gonna... been them just like walking by giggling to each other or something.
Right.
And not like, them like just... staring right at Emma as she addresses them.
And then just not saying anything. Like, did they forget to write the ladies' lines or state or directions of what to do? They're like, we forgot. Okay. We didn't write what y'all are supposed to do. So just stare at her. All right. It'll work. If y'all do it. It'll work. It's only 2 seconds. We only need 2 seconds of this. And then Miriam has a line. So it's fine. We always write Miriam's lines. We sometimes forget to write everybody else's. It's fine. It was a weird moment. Like, they're not supposed to speak when addressed. They don't talk. They just react.
Yeah, it's weird.
And then Manny's being like, they're just excited, Manny.
It's weird.
It was weird. Yeah, it was
weird. It's weird. Like, you think that, like...
they're friends. Yeah. They're supposed to be friends.
It feels like the kind of scene that leads up to, like, walking into the gym to find out everybody knows about your fucking nudes that got leaked.
Like, the judgment. Yeah, I don't know if there was something that was cut, if there was something that was not shot and was supposed to be shot and they just didn't, they never went back and did it, but it's weird. It's a weird moment and it's like right at the top of the episode. So it's a little bit like, why? make that choice. But yeah, it does not go anywhere, literally. One of my notes is bold of Hatzilakos to risk getting socked in the face to break up a fight. I would have let Mr. Armstrong do that shit.
Yeah, where was Coach Armstrong?
Respectfully, that is his jurisdiction.
That brawl would not have gotten, that scuffle would not have gone as far as it did.
Maybe he's on a well-deserved vacation.
I hope so.
He comes back after being gone for like 3 weeks, he's like, so in the 3 weeks I was gone, JT was murdered in a bottle of his own, not his own piss, of someone else's piss. And there was a brawl. This is why I don't go on vacation. This is why. Like, y'all ask me why I don't take my PTO. This is why I don't. Armstrong's fed up. He's Armstrong's like, when I leave, so this fucking place falls the fuck apart. And I can't take it. Yeah. The school's got to be paying for some aromatherapy or some shit for him, because there's no way. Yeah, but I thought it was funny that she would break up the scene. Like, why is she breaking up, or break up the scene, break up the fight? Why would she break up a fight? I'm not, break it up, I said! Break it up! It's so bad. Okay.
It's, yeah, it's, and it kind of feels like Chelsea will get this, like how they used to have fights on the challenge and now they just have altercations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the fact that they switched from like a frat house vibe to just like, we're corporate, we don't do like, we don't argue, we have corporate sponsorships now.
Avis, it wasn't that long ago that they had a season where they had these motherfuckers literally living in a bunker underground and not a single fight happened. Not like a real one. No, no. Back not in like the a day, real though, one. Man.
There would never, CT, back in the day, would never.
Dude, one time, this guy, Brad, had been on like a losing team the whole season and he had hit his fucking wit's end with it. So he starts trying to start this fight with, Darrell, and fucking, it does not go well. And finally, Darrell, like, hits his point. And he's just like, he's just sitting there taking it for a minute as like Brad just is like trying to push him. And then finally, he's like, nope. And he gets up and he punches Brad so many times. And they both get sent home. And Brad never blinked again after that. It's like, nah, it used to be such good fights. When I'm like, when I am angry, that's what I do, is I watch compilations of challenge fights and I understand why men like UFC.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's kind of unrealistic that they're not having some level in an underground bunker. Jesus. Yeah, no. It's cowards. I did want to point out that, like, Snake saying their next unit was video podcasting, and like Toby sitting Easter up egg. And being like, Toby being like, ah, I'm listening. And Manny's weak ass, like, that, what, to somebody being like, what is us beating Lakers gonna prove, that we're better than them? That was weak. That was some weak ass shit. I'm not gonna, that was weak sauce, Manny. You thought you cooked with that, you didn't. Their flame was not on. I also think,
like, Toby being like, you can miss cheerleading for 1 year. Like, it's her senior year.
Yeah.
This is something she's worked hard at since she was in grade 7.
Right, and the fact that they made it to finals.
To finals.
Because they literally didn't have a team. So she's been on it since the beginning, except for 1 year.
Yeah,
she's already lost a year of cheerleading. So from her point of view, which you could compare to Dylan and his dumbass hockey, this is everything to her. Like, she has worked and put a lot of time and effort into this. She's gotten fucking body shamed and slut shamed and fucking ridiculed and shit and made to be the mascot and all this shit. from this team. Like, and now she's at the helm of it, and they're making it to city finals. Like, she really wants to prove, and she genuinely thinks this is going to make the school feel better.
Right.
Like, Panther Pride, one of our Patreon tiers, by the way.
Speaking of Patreon.
It's
no,
like,
but for real, y'all, you should join our Patreon. There's all sorts of cool stuff happening over there. In fact, if you were on our Patreon, you would have listened to pre-show yesterday and heard an exciting announcement.
A very exciting Monday.
Because pre-show comes out on Monday.
A 2 days early. So a very exciting announcement indeed, which main feed will hear next week. So if you're interested in being a patron, you can sign up right fucking now and get access to like over 80 hours of content, I believe, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of shit on there, if not 100 hours. Like, we've got a lot of shit. We've got our film clubs. We've got our soon-to-be-finished coverage of...
You also get quarterly merch packs.
Yes, you get merch packs, quarterly. Quarterly.
Double entry in things we do.
Mm-hmm. And, like, if you want to become one of our Titty Snake producers, then we develop a really cool relationship with you. And you might do mm-hmm. Hilary Duff karaoke with us at Smoky Mountain Fan Fest.
Yeah. Start a band for one night only.
Start a band for one night only with us. So, yeah. Come on down, y'all. The water's warm. Anyway.
Ew. That was... I did not like that. Okay.
Ew.
Okay. I wanted to talk about... So when Manny's packing and Emma grabs something and is like, this is mine, is that the red halter top?
The red halter top? The one that...
I'm gonna be famous?
Oh, shit. It might be.
I think it is.
And that's Emma's?
Apparently.
Well, that's unfortunate for Emma. I just don't think it's gonna hit the same. Do you?
It's not going to hit the same, but I don't think it's going to hit poorly.
She just doesn't halter a lot. She does not do the halter look
she
a lot.
She doesn't do the halter look a lot, but I feel like she's got, like, good shoulder and, like, collarbones for her. It's going to be very different from Manny, but I think that she could pull it off. Yes,
certainly a different tee. That's fair. Yeah, I did not catch that, and that is an iconic fashion moment. I fear. Let me see if I have any more notes on this A plot. Oh, Emma with her shoes burrowed in the couch is fucking psychotic. Like, no wonder she stood your ass up. I'm sorry. Why do you have your fucking tennis shoes in the seam of the cushion couch, Emma? Did you at least you could put your feet on the coffee table like a civilized fucking a person.
Or respectfully, put your feet up. Some people, and I would say that it's safe to assume that those in the Emma in the Nelson Simpson household eat off of that coffee table. So I'm not saying I support the feet in the couch or the shoes in the couch, but I think shoes in the couch are probably better than shoes on the coffee table.
Shoes nowhere. But if you're gonna kick up your feet, which I think is a disgusting thing to do. I'm sorry. I just got really mad because of shoes being kicked up on my ottoman. I just had a vision. Don't ever do that. If you ever want to piss me off.
Yeah. Take your shoes off the set. If you go to Rob Avis.
I might forgive the robber if you take your shoes off. Because if I'm fucking Robbie and you don't take your shoes off. You're just fucking rude. You're a fucking rude ass fucking, and you rude. Respect people's house rules, man.
Robbing me is excusable. You might have a reason.
You have your
reason, but there
reason,
is not
sir.
A goddamn reason for you to be wearing your shoes in my house.
Not and like, you know what? I'm helping you out. Your job is going to be easier with in fucking socked feet. Because my house creaks like a bitch. And you're going to need all the help you can get. Because don't let us hear you. Okay. If you listen to pre-show, this tangent makes a lot more sense. But yeah, I can't fuck with the feet anywhere. Like, if you're in my home, you're in socked feet or bare feet. I don't care. It's your twist, whatever. But you are not with your outside shoes in my house. So I don't care where you put your feet, if that makes sense. Like, don't fucking do one of those videos on my island in my kitchen where you're standing up on that shit without me. Because first, I don't know if the thing is weight tested and you might fall through the middle because it's not marble. Or it's not a granite countertop. It's like, it's not. I wouldn't do that. I think I've done it once where I've gotten up there and danced. Just don't wear
your fucking shoes at Avis's house.
Don't wear your fucking shoes and be very careful where you put your feet. If it's an eating surface, I don't want your socked feet or bare feet on my eating surface. But my thing is, why do you have your nasty shoes buried in your couch?
I don't know. I don't know, honey. And I'm sorry.
She's smearing the piss that she was just talking about, showing Manny, hey, this is what happened. You walk past that piss puddle every day and you bury in your goddamn feet. Your house is the scene of a crime, a bloody crime. And you're not taking your shoes off before you bury them in the fucking couch, Emma. You nasty bitch. All right, I'm done.
Are you?
Clearly, got Avis me fired. Avis can go on up
about this topic for a really long time, as it turns out. It's all good. We love her anyway.
But yeah, don't do that. Don't be like Emma. Don't wear your piss, blood stained tennis sneakers in your house and then put them in the seam of your couch for all to
And find. Definitely don't wear them to Avis's house and put them in the seam of her couch.
I will burn them and you on my front
lawn. And the couch.
Jesus, this is morbid. All right. Well, do we have anything else to talk about in this A-plot?
I feel like... Oh, no. We need to talk... I do want to say kudos to the Lakers cheerleaders for cheering through that. They may have been cheering poorly, but they were cheering in their very ill-fitting uniforms.
They were trying... their very best. I can't be. No one broke an ankle.
One broke an ankle.
They recovered nicely. Recovery is half of the fucking battle. Okay. It did piss me off that Manny was like, "You stick it, guys. Way to stick it." And I kind of want to know what date this episode premiered in the U.S. What date the theatrical film Stig It featuring Pyro was released. And I want to know if there's some correlation because, like, I know that's a term that's been used in, like, gymnastics and things for a while, but I just feel like it's too on the nose. It's cheerleading. We're doing stunts. Way to stick it, guys!
Yeah, that cheerleading competition happened.
Manny is doing her peppy thing this episode. And I don't really like it. It is what it is. But yeah, I feel like Lakehurst, they did the best they could with being heavily booed.
And having, like, those uniforms did not look easy to move in. Like, they're very stiff and ill-fitting.
I need to go back and look at this footage because you are, like, harping on these particular uniforms when the Degrassi uniforms are abysmal.
I'm not saying the Degrassi uniforms are good. I'm just saying
that... Well, as long as you're not saying they're good, I can deal with that.
And But I do feel that they were... They had more functionality.
The Degrassi uniforms?
Yes.
There's a lot of this footage of them as cheering. Go home, Lakers. Well, they've got the low rise on. Here's my thing. Both of theirs, so the Degrassi squad, this is fashion. Do we have anything else that's not fashion before we
I don't think so. I'm looking at it now. The Degrassi uniforms aren't great, but they do seem to the girls.
Well, so what the thing is with the Lakehurst uniforms, they are cropped. They have crop tops.
and they have low rise pants, shorts. I actually prefer theirs more. And for what they're doing, this actually might not be as uncomfortable as you think.
The material just looks very stiff to me.
The material on the top looks more stiff than the shorts are made out of, but I can certainly, like, because the shorts to me look a little bit more like spandexy, like the Degrassi uniforms. I hate the Degrassi uniform because it's not the same color. It bothers me to no end that they just, that cheap ass Darcy was like, no, we're not getting all new uniforms. We're just going to get shorts. And the shorts are a purple color, whereas the tops, their actual school colors are royal blue and yellow. And the shorts are like a purple color. And it's extremely glaring. Like, it's not the same color at all. It's not the same color in the slightest. And it's very messy looking to the point where they don't even look like a real squad to me. It looks like one of those fake squads in, like, 80s movies that have, like, the bot, like, the sweaters. I know those used to be real uniforms, but I'm just saying. It looks bad. And I know they're supposed to be... like the home team, we're supposed to really like their, no, I don't. I think the Lakehurst uniforms by comparison look a lot cleaner and they look a lot more realistic about what an actual squad would wear. Because I doubt you cannot find me a cheer coach who would allow their team to go out on the mat looking like this. They don't even, if one person doesn't have a bow, not everybody's not wearing a fucking bow. Take the bows off, bitch. We're all looking the same. Some of their shorts are long. Some of their shorts are pulled up into their ass. Some of their shorts are low rise. Some of their shorts are high rise. Some of them have on crops. Like it looks cropped. Some of them, like the way that their shorts are being worn is greatly affecting how they look uniform. They do not look uniform. What is the point of a uniform if you don't look uniform? It is like literally a different, like, look at this from this perspective of, and I'll post this screenshot, you know, we'll get back on posting about the things we talk about on the show. But I have a screenshot of them from the back and you can clearly see that the Degrassi colors are royal blue, white, and yellow on the top. You can see it on their banner. Their banner matches the top. But then if you look at their shorts, it is a very, very clear blueberry, like poppy purple with little trims of white and blue, like varsity stripes on the side. Like, it's not cute. They don't look good. By comparison, the Lakehurst squad kills them. I can't even, like, yes, the material might not be as comfortable. I think the Panther top looks way more comfortable than their top. But it's also cut very weird when you're not wearing a skirt. That is a top for when you're wearing a skirt versus, oh yeah, you can see the other teams sitting over there next to the Lakehurst teams in, like, wearing a G on their shirt and like they have pom-poms. Yeah. So you can see they are sitting there, and then there's other teams that's in a red, but they've got black instead of the Lakehurst who just has white. So there are two other teams aside from Degrassi and Lakehurst at least, which we can see sitting on the bench. And I'm not talking about the other teams' uniforms because I cannot accurately judge them. They are just sitting down. But if it's Lakehurst versus Degrassi in the uniform debate, Lakehurst actually looks like they bought both pieces of their uniforms in the same fucking place.
That's fair. That's fair.
They all have ponytails. Their shorts are cut the same way. They're wearing them the same way. So they look like a uniform team.
They aren't all wearing crop tops, though.
Yeah, I did notice that. And I'm pretty sure that's probably because they didn't think anybody would notice. But they probably also didn't think I would notice that they're two different fucking colors.
Can I tell you what I don't like about that?
Hmm.
is there are, if you like, if you look at them, there's a decent amount of, like, I would say that the split of the Lakehurst team is like 50-50, like skinny, stereotypical cheerleader bodies, and then 50-50, like,
yes,
girls who were considered fat then.
Correct. I see what you mean, yes.
And they are the ones who are not wearing crop tops. And, like, as somebody who was a bigger girl at that time, at that age, like, I feel like the only thing more mortifying to me than having to wear a uniform that involved a crop top
mm-hmm.
would be being, you know, one of the girls who wore a full-length top.
And no, I don't disagree with that. I think why it's more glaring. Like, I actually didn't notice that until you said that, which it's a very valid point. I think they just look so uniform. The why Degrassi's uniforms don't, it, like, they do a similar thing is because they have girls in the back who are clearly extras, and they clearly are, they do gymnastics, whatever, they're clearly fit. They have them wearing the shorts as, like, Sophie shorts, Sophie, whatever, however the mm-hmm. fuck you say that. Always said that wrong. Those length, like, they're, like, volleyball short length. They are short. They're basically yeah. right under the cuff of your ass. And low rise, where they're not coming up over your belly button, or they're just under your belly button. And so, therefore, their shirts create this gap of belly where that Shantae and several other people don't have
mm-hmm.
because they're fat. Like, Shantae in particular has her whole, like, you can't see any of her belly. She's like,
you guys missed it, but there were covered. Air quotes on that fat there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there are air quotes on that fat, because here's a screenshot of her turning and doing the mm-hmm. routine. But look at the girl next to her and how far down she has her shorts pulled.
Mm-hmm.
And how far up she has to have her shorts pulled because she has thicker thighs. Like, it's like,
yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like, they are trying to cover up some people. Like, it's very strategic how they put the shorts on. Yeah, that's Manny next to her. So it's very different how they put the shorts on Manny, and the size of the shorts, I would even say, versus how they put the shorts on Shantae and the size of the shorts. They've got Shantae wearing basically, like, they're almost little biker shorts. How far they've got those pulled down.
Right.
And they've got them up over her. Yeah, no.
They don't, I did, like, not, yeah, go. Yeah.
I bet you guys did not expect about a 10-minute dissertation on the fucking, or die, whatever, on the fucking outfit inconsistencies of the cheerleading teams in this episode. But I used to cheer. It was very important to look uniform. It was very important that everybody wore the same thing. Because why have us in uniforms if we're not all wearing the same thing? The same way. Because I had coaches that would be like, how many rolls do you have on your skirt right now? Unroll it.
Because mm-hmm.
we're doing one roll today. And that's so somebody can't have a short ass skirt and somebody has a Pentecostal length skirt. So, like, you can't, like, you've got. And I think those kind of details take me out of it a little bit, because this one, this is a very rinky dink Spirit Squad Metro. Oh, I see the banner. Spirit Squad Metro Finals. Degrassi is proud to host Spirit Squad Metro Finals. This is a very dinky Metro Finals. this is the Metro area competition. This is very dinky. These routines are 15 seconds long. Like, Caroline gets on this show about the real estate inaccuracies, I'm gonna get on the show about the cheerleading inaccuracies, because they go so hard in the paint for no reason. What mm-hmm. are they sticking? Not a damn thing, because they do one stunt and it's at the end.
Yeah,
because their routine is 15 seconds long. Lakehurst struggled longer than their entire routine was. Like, Lakehurst was struggling for about 10 to 15 seconds of what Degrassi, like, it, yeah. But the biggest thing I have to say is I don't appreciate that their uniforms are two fucking different colors, the top and the bottom. It's the worst. But yes, let's go forth into further fashion. I only had Marco to mention after that.
I only have Marco and Damien, and just to say I hated everything that they both wore.
I did too.
Especially Damien's stupid hat.
Damien's stupid hat, Marco's stupid collar, and his stupid scarf.
Grandpa sweater.
Yeah, it's all very bad branding. Yep. Yeah. After my lamentation, I don't have any more things to say on the fashion.
Okay. I guess we move to shots fired then.
Yes.
Shots fired.
How many do you have?
8.
All right. I have 16. So why don't you do yours and I will fill in? Because I'm sure you have a good portion.
Okay. So I have Mia saying, "Excuse me, but I went to Lakehurst, so save your lives for someone who will buy them."
Mm-hmm.
Sean saying, "So Manny, who are you loyal to, your dead friend or your new Lakehurst crush?" Mm-hmm. I have Emma being like, "What do you want me to say? You're sleeping with the enemy." And Manny firing back with like a lethal shot of, "You know what, Em, I'm so happy I moved home because now I don't have to see your mean, judgmental, stuck up little face anymore," which is a lot of adjectives. That's how you know she's serious.
She was sitting on it for a while.
I have Emma's sarcastic, which is so much more important than academics or even actual sports. Yeah, if the school printed money, your face would be on it, which is a really dumb line.
It is. She's just mad as shit and she can't upstage that other shit that Manny said.
But Manny hits her back with, "And I'd use it to buy you a big box of shut up."
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Marco saying, "Shut up, Curly,"
mm-hmm.
to Dylan. I really loved that moment. Mm-hmm. And then my last one, I think, is the big one. And I think, why don't you go through all the rest of yours and let's discuss that one last.
Okay.
My last one is a shot fired by Damien.
Mine is 2.
Yeah.
I have Emma saying, "If you win, it'll be without JT. I have Dylan saying, "We live together. We see each other plenty." I have Mia saying, "Did you guys like forget my BF? Your mascot, JT York, was killed 2 weeks ago. Thanks, but I'll pass." Sean saying, "Isn't he friends with the freak that killed JT? I did mention this in the deep dive, but I love Marco saying, "My problem is tall, broad-shouldered, and emotionally absent." I have Emma saying, "Yep, call the media. Manny Santos has healed the entire school." Toby saying, "We can miss cheerleading for 1 year." And, oh, I did have one after Damien, so I'll do that. But it's not relevant. It's Marco saying, "As far as smells go, that's just above roadkill. But I'll miss it." So, yeah, let's talk about what Damien said during the brawl. Now, I know why Manny was your only friend. She's a saint to put up with your crap.
Yeah, which again, like,
I'm a saint to not knock that fucking dumbass hat off your head.
Mm-hmm. It's just so shitty, and it's so, like, because I'm sure it's not like Manny was sitting there being like, "Yeah," and I mean, like, I'm Emma's only friend. Like, it was probably her being like, "Yeah, Emma's kind of upset that I blew her off the other night. Like, it's been a long 6 seasons. Girl's mm-hmm. been through a lot. She doesn't have a lot of people right now." Like,
mm-hmm.
and for him to then be like, "You don't have any friends."
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah,
mean.
It's very
just
mean.
Me.
And it's also not his place.
It's not his place. And you know what, too, is like, Manny is not somebody who wants to hurt you. Like, even mm-hmm. when she's fighting with you.
Right.
She's never trying to hurt you. And so for Damien to Like, it's not his place and it's not who she is. And I'm a little bit disappointed in Manny that this relationship lasts. If I don't even know if it does. This could be the end of Manny and Damien. Here's hoping. But like, if they date another episode beyond this, like, I'm disappointed in Manuela.
Yeah. I very much agree with that. And I think it definitely speaks on Manny negatively that this is the dude you're fucking schlepping around.
Right.
That's nasty. Yeah.
It's, yeah. It's just, it's mean for the sake of being mean.
Mm-hmm. He's mean. That's why, see, like, he comes, he's like, oh, I'm a good guy, whatever, but he's very mean-spirited. He is very mean-spirited.
And, okay, so for the sake of fairness, for the sake of showing these fictional teenagers grace, I will say that I think it's possible that, like, I understand how it could be difficult to have a bunch of people kind of blaming you for something you had nothing to do with.
Like, I think he's just misrepresenting himself, and that's why they don't fuck with him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's making it like, I'm completely outside. Like, I just happen to go to Lakehurst. I'm completely outside of this guy's
friendship. Look at my Argyle sweater vest.
I wear sweater vests. I'm very trustworthy. Like, but no, like, you hid the fact that you did have a level of friendship with him, even if it was just being an acquaintance. Or being on a sports team together and, like, you guys, like, hung out in that context. Like, that's still worth mentioning. You could still be like, hey, I really didn't know him that well, but we did play hockey together and we hung out a couple times. I didn't see any shit like that coming. Like, right, we were friends, friendly in sixth grade. Like, we were never any type of friends recently. And I'm so fucking sorry that this shit happened to your friend. Like, that would be putting all your cards on the table. But then just to be like, oh, no, I don't even know this guy. I've never even interacted with him. I've never spoken a word. And then to have somebody like Manny, the red flags are red flagging. Like, you, this guy, at the very least, is not being truthful about some shit that involves your dead friend. And I think at the very least, that's enough to fucking cut somebody off.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no,
she don't
do
it quick enough for me. She don't do it quick enough. It don't happen quick enough. But yeah, it does happen. Well, yeah.
Does anyone shine this week?
I was gonna say, do we have shining stars? I feel like everyone is just messy. Maybe Snake. Jimmy and Snake.
I'll give it to Spinner.
Spinner
made me laugh so hard.
Spinner's funny. I think Jimmy gave some solid advice and basically was just advising Marco to, like, not be so in his head and, like, and honestly, that is sound advice for Marco because he has the tendency to be hysterical over some shit. And Jimmy gave him solid advice that not his fault that the shit didn't work. He was a very good friend in this episode. I like how he said, oh, Monsieur Dylan. I don't know why. I think it adds to just, like, the little buddy banter they were having. But, yeah, I will...
I always like to see Snake stand up to Emma.
Right. Like, hey, you guys are both...
He's one of the only ones that really can. He's one of the only ones that can get through.
Yeah, fucking Spike lives in fear of her child, who she created. Tiptoes around that.
She's towered over her mother since she was, like, 2.5. Give the kid a break. Or give Spike a break.
Do you know that viral sound? It's like, oh, watch out, Bookie, I almost knocked you over. It's like a tall person to a short person, but it's usually an older person is the short one. Yeah. Hilarious. Okay, do we have any super bummers from everyone?
Yeah, aside from everyone, Emma, Damien, Dylan, Marco. Greatest hits.
Yeah.
Mia,
Ellie,
Toby.
Even though she wasn't in this episode.
Ellie, yeah, we can just assume Ellie that
had
being
to be
pawned.
Ellie had to be told to go to the, convinced to go
for,
to the fucking movies.
For
with
whatever.
She's off screen and she's pissing me off. No, I'm joking. I'm kind of joking. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody sucks this week. Everybody but Snake and Jimmy and Spinner. Mm-hmm. Jimmer.
Spammy. All right. does it go there?
Does it go there?
Well,
I'm gonna say yes.
It's gotta kind of go there, right?
There's a lot of big feelings that are really actually being worked through. Like, and Emma and Manny come to a good resolution. I love that line that Manny has at the end where she's like, everything, anything we've ever gotten through,
we've gotten through together.
Like, don't change the formula.
Don't change. Yeah. Right. Like, please, you think I need you? You think I'm your emotional support bestie? You are too, bitch. I need you to stop being so fucking goofy and shit. You should stop. And he's like, I beg of you, please stop with the goofy behavior. Yes. It goes there. These people are still in grief. There's literally a part of the episode that she's like, he died right here. It happened
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
In a puddle of his own, of not his own piss.
Of not his own piss, but it was his blood though. Then,
well,
yeah.
And probably he peed himself when he died, like you usually do.
Yeah.
Poor JT. Yeah, no.
That made me sad. Poor JT.
And then Liberty shows up in a dress that's got like a blood stain.
The only full outfit reveal we get of Miss Liberty Van Zant, and it is in the name of devastation.
Justice for Liberty. Justice for Sarah.
Please.
Justice for a lot of people.
Justice.
On that note, let me just say, thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Next week, we will be joined by listener Alex Cardena I'm so sorry, Alex. I probably pronounced that so poorly. Alex is going to be joining us so that we can watch Paige crash and burn in Free Falling Parts 1 and 2.
Can't wait.
This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by infidelity trauma, dead friend trauma, and support from listeners like you.
Seriously.
And break. We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Tay,
Lucy,
Iggy,
Evie,
Miranda,
and an extra special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Tawny,
the Degrassi Generations Facebook group,
Corey,
Chelsea,
Brandy,
and Alika.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPodcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.